please, to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, Hebrews chapter 4. And if yours is a Scofield Reference Bible, page 1294, 1294. And we'll be reading responsively the first eight verses of the fourth chapter of Hebrews. The text verse is the second verse. And let's stand. As is our custom, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day. And let's pray. And Father, we're here, many of us. Thank You for this place. Thank You for our church. Thank You for Your Word. And that's why we're here, because of Your Word. We pray for Thy help and power in this service, that we who listen might know Your closeness in Thy Spirit, so that that which You've given to our preacher can become a part of us. Help it to be so, in Jesus' name, amen.
One of the verses we read a while ago was this: for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, living truth is filtered truth. Living truth is filtered truth. It says the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Now, why didn't the word profit them? Because it was not mixed with faith. I want to speak on that subject. Now, before I pray, let me give you just a little background of Hebrews. This is old hat to many of you. Book of Hebrews is the book where more false teaching is gleaned because of misunderstanding of the book than any other book in the Bible. The book of Hebrews was written to new converts who were formerly Jewish, of the Jewish religion, Hebrew people. It was written admonishing them to go on in the faith, not return to the beggarly elements of Judaism, but go on in the faith. And it is not written primarily to the unsaved. In fact, little of the Bible is written to the unsaved. It is written to the saved people, admonishing them to go forward. And then he says one reason you haven't gone forward is because the truth hasn't done you any good. You say, why didn't the truth do us any good? Because it was not mixed with faith. The truth is not mixed with faith. The Bible says the letter killeth, and the truth is not mixed with faith. And therefore, the truth was given in vain and did not profit them. I want to talk to you on the subject, living truth, filtered truth. Let me give you a statement before I pray. This statement: truth must die to live. Truth must die to live. Like a seed must die and go into the ground to live. seed is no good without soil, and the truth is no good without the soil of faith. A truth must be buried in the soil of faith before truth can be a living truth. That's why Paul wrote the Corinthians and said, the letter killeth. I know people that have the New Testament memorized, probably not even saved. They're false teachers. The letter killeth. But the letter, or the truth, once it is buried in faith, becomes alive. Because then, and only then, is truth resurrected, and only then does it become living truth. Just as our Savior, who said, I am the truth, was dead, buried, and raised again. Even so, all truth must be buried in the soil of faith if it's going to rise and be a living truth. Father, bless, I pray, this truth that goes forth from this pulpit this morning. I pray that the people shall give their rapt attention, and that this will be a service of edification, of transformation in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Just north of us, a few miles, is a great lake. That lake provides our water supply. But wait a minute. Don't go out and rush out to the lake this afternoon and fill your thermos with the water and drink it. The water is not prepared to be drunk yet. It must be filtered. It must go through a filtering process. There must be something mixed with it before it will be of help to you. So it is with truth. This verse says that truth must go through a filter. It must be mixed with something else. And that filter is faith. Now follow me carefully. To many of you this morning in this room, this Bible is a book full of truth. But it's not living truth to you. You come to hear a man preach every Sunday that you believe, to whom you believe, this book is living truth. And you believe that a preacher ought to certainly have living truth. And you want to hear somebody preach that you think is a possessor of living truth. But the honest truth this morning is that hundreds of people in this room do not know the living quality of the truth of this book. Now you say, why? Because it's not mixed with faith. Until your truth is mixed with faith, it is not a living truth. And the Bible says that the preaching to these people was done in vain because their truth, or the truth, was not mixed with faith. Now, if you've got to mix truth with faith for truth to do any good or be living truth, then you've got to know what faith is. Now, what is faith? Faith is not a passive possession, believing what God can do. Faith is an active quality. The Bible didn't say by faith Moses believed that the Red Sea would part. It says by faith he entered into the Red Sea. The Bible didn't say by faith Abraham believed God would care for him if he left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city which had foundation, whose builder and ruler is God. The Bible said by faith he left the Ur of the Chaldees. Believing was the faith. Not the believing, a passive believing, but believing was the faith. Bible doesn't say by faith Abraham believed that God would give him back his son if he offered him up on Mount Moriah's altar. It said by faith he offered his son. You check the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and you'll find that faith is almost always followed by an action verb. By faith they went. By faith he offered. By faith he sojourned. By faith he gave. By faith they kept the Passover. So faith is an active thing. Let me give you what I believe is the best definition of faith. It's my definition of faith, and that's why it's the best one.
But this is my definition of faith. Faith is four things. Number one, it's asking God for something. Number two, it is believing that God will give it to you. Number three, it is doubting that God will give it to you. Number four, it is holding out your cup to get it. It's acting on the belief. None of us has pure belief without doubt. God loves us so much, God made it possible for a little doubt to be included in the recipe that makes faith, and God knows we're going to doubt some. Well, there's nobody in this room this morning, but what has had prayers answered, and you've been shocked to death when you got the answer. You prayed for something when home said to your wife, guess what? What? Guess what? What? I'll not. You won't believe it. Yes, I will believe it. No, you won't believe it. Yes, I will believe it. I got an answer. I don't believe it. You know that's true. It happens to all of us. In the 17th of Matthew and also in the 9th of Mark, we have the story about the man that came to the disciples while Jesus was up on Transfiguration's Mount. And the man came to the disciples and said, I got a son here that's possessed of the devil. And he described the awful things happening to his son, and the disciples couldn't do anything. Jesus came back from the mount. The disciples came to Jesus and said, the man came to Jesus and said, I went to your disciples. They couldn't do anything. But would you heal my son? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, I will. For all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And in response to that, Jesus healed his son. What was that? It was faith. What was faith? Faith is asking, believing, doubting, but stepping out and acting on the belief. You recall the story of the Hebrew children. When they were told they had to bow down and worship that golden image in the plains of Dura, when the Ministerial Association built it at that time. And you recall the story. They said, you've got to bow down and worship this golden image. And but three of the Israelites said, no way, we're not going to do it. They said, okay, we'll turn the thermostat up seven times hotter and put you in the fire furnace. They said, doesn't matter. They said, you mark this down, O king. We're not going to bow down and worship that big doll. We're not going to do it because our God will deliver us. But the next three words were, but if not. But if not. What they said is, let me tell you, Buster King or King Buster, let me tell you, buddy, we're not going to bow down and worship that big doll. Our God's going to deliver us. We hope. That's what they were saying. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that that faith got them delivered. What was that faith? It was asking, it was believing, it was doubting, but it was stepping out on the belief. Didn't say by faith they resisted the king. No, by faith they went in the fire. They escaped the violence of fire. Now, you recall the story of in the book of Acts when Peter was in jail. The church had a prayer meeting. And they prayed for Peter to get out of jail. Well, Peter was sound asleep. He didn't pray himself out of jail. It wasn't his faith. He was asleep in jail. And so the church is praying, Peter, get out of jail. And the Bible says that the angel came and whacked Peter on the side, said, get up, Peter, and go out the door. Peter said, the door's locked. The angel said, go toward the door. And by faith, he went toward that door. But wait a minute. The door opened. Peter walked out. He goes down to the church house, knocks on the door. They're praying for Peter to get out of jail. They send little Rhoda to the door. She wasn't a very good prayer anyhow. And they sent Rhoda to the door. Then they said, Rhoda, go see who's the door. Rhoda said, oh, my soul, it's Peter. She came back and said, guess who's at the door? They said, who? She said, Peter. They said, don't bother us. We're having a prayer meeting that Peter will get out of jail. But he's at the door. They said, you've seen a ghost. Peter's in jail. We know where he is. We're praying he'll get out. Now, they doubted when they got the answer. I'm simply saying that faith is asking. Faith is believing and doubting, but stepping out on the belief. It was their faith that included doubt that got Peter delivered from prison. It was the faith of the Father that included doubt that got his son healed. It was the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which included doubt, that got them delivered from the fiery furnace. Now, so consequently, I paraphrased there for a while longer than I meant to. Consequently, we've got to find out what faith is. Because if we take truth, and if the truth lives and does us any good, we've got to mix the truth or mingle the truth with faith, the Bible says. So what is faith? I'll tell you what faith is. Best illustration I know. It's very simple. Cindy back there, our youngest daughter, when she was a little bitty girl, just old enough to walk, she learned to walk when she was 7. And but Cindy was just a little girl. I mean 18 months old, maybe two years old, just old enough to walk and talk. I used to put her right here on this pulpit after church on a Sunday night. And this pulpit wasn't here, it was over there, but same pulpit. And I'd put Cindy right here. And I'd say, Puddin', I want you to jump to Daddy. She'd say, okay. I'd say, okay, when I say 3, would you jump to Daddy? Yes, sir, I'll jump. And say 3. And I'd say, 1, 2, 3. And Cindy would go, I'm scared. And I said, don't you think I'll catch you?
Yes, sir.
Well, are you afraid I'll drop you?
Yes, sir.
Well, honey, Daddy can catch you. Don't you believe Daddy can catch you?
Yes, sir.
All right, when I say 3, would you jump?
Yes, sir.
1, 2, 3. I'm scared. Well, honey, don't you think Daddy can catch you?
Yes, sir.
Well, do you think Daddy will drop you?
Yes, sir.
And we'd go through that, and finally, why she did, don't know, but she always held her nose and closed her eyes when she jumped. I don't know. But every time she jumped, it was a suicidal attempt. I guarantee you, she thought that was it. Now, folks, that's what faith is. God looks down from heaven, and God says, He knows we're human, He knows we're flesh, He knows we're dust, and God says, my people can do nothing perfectly because they're in the flesh. And so God says, I know since you're in the flesh, you're going to have a hard time believing. I know you're down there stuck on that little ball going around in space. You don't know where you came from. You don't know much about where you're going. Do you know what it's called? But you don't know much about it. And I know your frustrations. I know your fears. I know your doubts. And so God says, I'm going to allow a little bit of unbelief in belief and still call it faith. That's what a wonderful God we have. Now, that's what faith is. Faith is asking. Faith is believing. Faith is doubting, but faith is acting on the belief. Now, we're trying to make truth alive this morning. Bible says in our text, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, we're trying to figure out how the truth can profit us this morning. We've got to mix truth, a Bible truth, must be mixed with faith. What is faith? Asking, believing, doubting, but stepping out on the belief. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you. Let me paraphrase. Here's what it's saying. It is saying, basically, truth will not profit you until you have tried it. That's what it's saying. You've got to mix truth with faith. What is faith? Faith is acting. Acting on what? Acting on the truth. Matthew 6:33 will not profit you until you have sought first the kingdom of God and found out that these things be added unto you. The John 14 will not profit you. John 15 will not profit you until you've exercised your faith in the Comforter. John 15:7 will not profit you until you have met the conditions of the prayer. My word abiding you, you by me, word abiding you, ask what you will, it shall be given you. You see, the truth preached from this pulpit is not going to help you a bit until you have tested the truth and tried the truth and had it mixed with your faith. And once it is mixed with faith and buried in faith, it germinates, it becomes alive, and then it is living truth, and then it helps you because it's mixed with faith. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I wish I could be young again for you so I could give you my youth again. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I do. And yet, there's something I can give you better than the vigor of youth. And that is, I can give you and stand and say that the truth I preach to you has been filtered in my life And it's living truth. I'm not preaching to you something that I learned. I'm preaching to you something I've tested. What I stand before you and tell you every Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, is not theory. It's fact. I know it works. I know it's real. I know it's truth. Now, I couldn't have given you that 25. I didn't give you that 25 years ago. I didn't know all of the truth. I knew the truth, but I had not filtered them by faith because I had not had opportunity to test many of them. But I can stand here as a man almost 60 years of age, and I can look out over this great sea of faces every Sunday morning, and I don't say to you, folks, I've got something in the Bible here I want to give you. I think it's true. I heard it's true. I've got a message to tell you this morning. I know what I'm talking about. I know it's real. I know it's truth. Why? Because after 60 years of life, nearly, I have had this truth filtered with practice and filtered with trial. I know it works. Truth mixed with faith. I can give you something better than youth. I can stand and say that the truth I preach to you has been filtered. I've tested it. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's better to give than receive. Now, there was a day when I preached that because the Bible says it. Now I preach it because the Bible says it, because I know it. I know. I feel sorry for you folks who have never learned it. But I know what I'm talking about. I know it's better to give than receive. I stand this morning and I take these great truths week after week from this blessed book, and I preach them across this desk, and I say to you, this is truth. But I say more than that. I say, not only is this truth, but you're hearing a man this morning who's tested this truth. I know His grace is sufficient. I know that. It's a great truth, but I know it. I used to believe it, but didn't know it. Why? I had not filtered it with trial. I had not filtered it with faith. I had not tested it. But I want to serve notice to you this morning, you folks who have not yet known what it is to need the grace of God in a special way. I stand this morning to announce to you and serve notice to you that the truth is right. It's real. I've tested, brother. It works. I know it works. It's been filtered through the filter of testing and of faith. I know that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, it's interesting. Right now, I'm full of energy. I bounce when I preach. I wiggle when I preach. I move when I preach. I'm full of energy. You ought to have seen me get up this morning. I mean, I'm 60 years old nearly, and I've got the aches and pains to prove it. And sometimes you ought to see me walk to the door over here. But I want you to know, when I stand up behind this pulpit, I feel like a 25-year-old youngster. I really do. I feel great. Why? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. I know it's true. Not because I read it. I believed it when I read it. I know it now. Why? I've filtered it through faith. I know what I'm talking about. There's no way in the world a man my age ought to do what I do. No way. There's no way a man my age ought to go as much as I go. No way. How do you do it? I do it because I've tested Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. That's how I do it. Know what I'm talking about. Boy, I wish I could convince you this Bible's true. I wish I could convince you my God will supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I wish I could convince you I can do all things through Christ with strengthening you, me. I wish I could convince you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I still claim that the greatest insurance policy in the world is Matthew 6:33 and Philippians 4:19. And I still believe the best retirement policy in the world is Matthew 6:33 and Matthew 4:19. Social Security is going broke, but God is just doing real good. I have served notice, ladies and gentlemen, I know what I'm talking about this morning. I know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not preaching truth to you only. I'm preaching filtered truth, tested truth, living truth. I know when God says, call unto me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I know it's true. I've tested it. Had my face to the wall too many times and found there's a living God. I've come to the end of the rope too many times and found there's a living God. I've had to have a miracle too many times and found there's the living God. And I stand this morning to say, I know that God's word is real and true and the truths here are valid. Not only because God says it, that's enough. But I know it because I've tried it. I sometimes wish I could go back to when I was 22, 23, 24, 25 years old and pastor this church. I'd love for you to see me when I had a big flock of hair. I was even more handsome then than I am now. I know that's hard for you to believe. But I sometimes wish it. I stand up back in those days and say His grace is sufficient because God said it. And I had a right to do it. But after these years of battles and trials and burdens, I can stand here and say not only because this book says it, but because I know it. I've tested it. I know it. The truth has been filtered through faith and testing. I know He that dwelleth in the secret place in the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. I know it. Somebody said, do you believe all you preach? Yes, I believe all I preach. Why? Number one, because I believe all this book. Somebody said, do you believe that Jonah swallowed the whale? No, I believe the whale swallowed Jonah. But the Bible, it said Jonah swallowed the whale. I believe that too. Bible said the whale was in the belly of Jonah 3 days and 3 nights. Looks like you may be in my belly right now. But in the 3 days, I believe that. But listen, I believe that what I preach more than I ever believed it in my life. Why? Because I've taken those truths I used to preach when I was young, and I've tested them in the fires of trial, adversity, heartbreak, battles, defeats, sorrow, tears, burdens, woe. I know. Let me tell you, if there's anybody today in this room that doubts this book and doubts the God of this book, let me tell you something. I know what I'm talking about. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. Why? I just didn't read it. I tested it. And tested it through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. Said, Brother Hiles, your preaching has more and more urgency than it used to have. Ought to have more urgency and know it more. When a fellow is young, he preaches it because he believes it. He reads it. Somebody said the Bible is true. And you young men, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Preach it though you haven't tested it yet. You'll have a chance to test it. It'll come. But before it's tested, go ahead and preach it. I guarantee it's true. Preach it because I said it's true. Preach it because God said it's true. Preach it because Mama said it's true. I'll tell you what. Somebody said, when you get older, you're supposed to quiet down some. Not if you tested it. Not if you tested it. Don't you tell me I ought to preach with less fervor right now than I did 25 years ago, 30 years ago. Don't you tell me that. Why? Because back in those days, the Bible was exciting because I believed it and read it and preached it. But now it's exciting because I believe it and read it and preached it and I have tested it. It's true. Once in a while somebody comes, I didn't like your church because you holler so much. Well, there are a lot of these little fellows around here haven't tested anything. You can hear them. I've tested it. I get excited because His grace is sufficient. I get excited because my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know it because it's more and more filtered through faith. I used to go see Mother Pollard. Mother Pollard was an old lady in Trinity Heights where I grew up. She's about dead. Couldn't come to church. She must have been way up there. I mean, 59 years old or more. And she's way up there. But she couldn't come to church. She was shut in. I used to go see Mother Pollard on Sunday afternoons. That little gal would raise her hand up and shout. And I thought, now what in the world has that old wrinkled peach got to do? What was she happy about? She can't play ball. She can't eat banana splits. What's that old prune got to be happy about? I understand it. Looks like to me she's about to die. What's she shouting about? I understand it. I used to wonder why old Gustave Norling, the old Norwegian missionary outside of Marshall, Texas, 90 years of age, served God for a lifetime, came back and was a shut-in, used to go out on Thursday afternoon for 2 hours and sit by his bedside, let him talk to me from his bed of affliction. He'd start talking after a while, his eyes would get sparkle. And pretty soon, you could just see it, and his little body would begin to wiggle. And there in the bed, he'd hold his hands up like that and have a spell and start praising God. I used to wonder what he's got to praise God about. He can't go outside. He can't go horseback riding. He can't ride a bicycle. He can't go out for a drive. What's he got to shout about? I don't understand it. I used to marvel at Mrs. Munden, a little lady up in years that had a heart condition. The doctor said if you walked to church, and she had to walk about a mile to church, he said any day, you could fall dead of a heart attack by just walking to church. He said, what better place can I go to heaven than walking to church? I used to wonder why she was so happy. I used to wonder why Sister Johnson, when I was a kid at Fernwood Baptist Church, every time she'd come by to shake hands with the converts, about four or five people from the convert, she'd throw a fit, have a spell. I used to be scared to death. I used to run out the door when she'd start shouting. What's she got to be happy about? She's her back is drooped, her brow's furrowed, her face is wrinkled, her hands are palsied, her hair is white, she's about to kick the bucket. What's she got to be happy? I don't understand it. I couldn't understand old Deacon Bussey, the old black deacon I used to preach down in East Texas. All black folks I can't understand. I used to wonder about old Deacon Bussey. Why, I mean, he'd get so happy when I was preaching. On a Wednesday night, he used to go out and conduct service on Wednesday night in that little black church. He'd get so happy, he'd get out of his seat, start waltzing around, and saying, "What could I do without the Lord?" I used to wonder about it. How could that old man be happy? What skin he's got's wrinkled, and what wrinkled skin he's got's black. How could he be happy? Black is beautiful on the person sitting beside you, Stan, but not on you, buddy. Why, I remember old Dr. Charles Weigel came to preach here years ago, back in the old building at Mern, way back down there. He's up here behind the pulpit in that building over there. And back in the days when you weren't allowed to get happy here too much, and old Dr. Weigel couldn't help where he got happy. He couldn't determine his happy where. And old Dr. Weigel, he just all of a sudden started lifting his hands up, and he said, "Jesus, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I thought, what in the world's he got to be happy about? The guy can hardly hold his hands up. I know now why they were happy, because Mother Pollard had taken truth and passed it through the filter of faith and tested it and found it was real. I know now because old Gustave Norling on the mission field for over half a century and probably 60 years or more, he, on the mission field, had taken truth and passed it through the filter of faith and tested it and found that it was real. And marvel, I know Miss Munden, Sister Johnson, Deacon Bussey, and Dr. Wagon, all the rest of them. Now, I want you to hear me as I read that verse again. Listen carefully. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Did you hear that? It didn't say in them that preached it. It said in them that heard it. He's not talking to pulpit here. He's talking to pew. He's not talking to me. He's talking to you. He's saying, you folks that sat in the pew. You know, I said a while ago something that's so true. Ever say anything else that's true, I'll remind you of that too. But I said something a while ago that's so true. And that was this. You know why you're here this morning, most of you? Most of you are here because you want to hear a man of God preach who's tested this book. But now I have as much right to want to pastor some people of God who've tested this book. He's talking here about those who are preached to. And he says, For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached unto them did not profit, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You take the truth that lies dormant in your life and filter it through faith. And then it becomes living truth. And watch it live. Dear widow, this morning, wondering how you're going to make it? Having to rear your children by yourself, or maybe you're living by yourself. And you wonder how you can make it. Let me tell you, dear widow, you take the truth that's preached from this pulpit, and not only you listen to it, but you test it with faith. Mix it with faith, and believe it, and act on it. Step out on it. It'll live. Lady forsaken by your husband this morning, ran off with somebody else, you got the children to rear. Don't know how you're going to make it, how you're going to face it. Take the truth that's been preached for 27 years from this pulpit, even back and beyond that. Take the truth. Step out on it. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Weary breadwinner, wondering how you're going to pay the bills, wondering how you're going to make ends meet, tired of the toil and burden of rearing a family? What can I do? You can take the truth of this word. This check will cash in any bank in the world. Never bounces. It's real. It's true. It works. My, I wish I could make you believe that. Dear afflicted one, you take the truth. Filter it. Faith. Infirm one awaiting surgery, you take the truth, filter it through faith. Look, folks, for me to come up here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and take a bunch of truth, I want you to see this beautiful truth. Beautiful truth. Look at this beautiful truth. Go out that door. Walk away with nothing but a memory of the sign. That's what I want to do. I want to mimeograph a copy of that truth and pass it out to you so you can take it home with you. The purpose of church is not you can come and examine some truth and say, whoopee, that's great, and go home. The purpose of truth is to find some truth you can take back to your house and prove it and test that it works. That's the purpose of it all. That's what the apostle says to these Hebrew Christians. He says your problem is you know truth, but you've not jumped out on that truth. You say, preacher, I have a hard time jumping out. I know so did Cindy, but she jumped. Whatever truth I've ever tested, I've tested it like this. God said, don't you think I can get you? Yes, sir. You afraid I'll drop you? Yes, sir. But I've jumped. And I tell you this morning, if I could just transfer what I'm talking about to you, oh, if I could get you to try it. Most of you are atheists. You haven't tried prayer yet. I'm not talking about grace at the table and God is great, God is good, let's thank Him for the good grub. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I'm talking about a life that walks with God. That's what I'm talking about. It works. Works! These folks that don't live by faith, let them have their fun while they can. You wait till they get to the age of Mother Pollard, they won't be shouting like she does. Scattered across this audience this morning, thank God there are some people who know what I'm talking about. There are a few people scattered across this building this morning to whom this Bible is not just a book to read because you're supposed to read it, and not a book that's to believe it's true. There are people scattered across this auditorium this morning who've lived in this book and can't put their life on this book. And they've taken the truth that they know from this book, and they've had that truth filtered in the soil of faith, and they've tested and tried it. They can say, I know whom I believe. I'm persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I know it. As I said the other day, I hunger. I just hurt on the inside. I want you to find out it's real by experience. I want you to know it's real by testing it. And that's what the apostle says to them. He says, the truth was vain because you never tested it. I'll tell you something. You give me that book and not a dime, and you have your $1 million without that book. You give me that book with cancer and you can have your health without that book. You give me that book unemployed and you can have your job without that book. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I stand this morning here after almost 27 years of preaching behind this place, this pulpit. I stand to tell you this morning, I believe this book. When I walked into this pulpit 27 years ago, month after next, I believed it. And I preached it as best I could. But after 27 years here, and many years of preaching before I came here, I'd like to announce to you, I know it's true. I know it's real. I felt His arms of love. His strengthening power. I felt His glorious presence. I know. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. Our Heavenly Father,